This morning we continue our reading of Genesis with Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there, and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Now it came about after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, Uz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlath, and Bethuel. And Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore Teba, and Gahem, and Tahash, and Mekah. So reads the word of God. Genesis 22:8. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. This week, we come to one of the most recognized accounts in the Bible. It is the report of Abraham's faithfulness to God, to the point of even offering up his only legitimate son as a sacrifice, if that was what pleased the Lord. We know God did not demand that sacrifice, but Abraham was willing to set aside his every hope for a future genealogy as an offering to the Lord. This was the son in whom Abraham had pinned his every hope of becoming the father of countless numbers of descendants. This was the miracle child from the womb of his beloved wife Sarah. This was in the advanced years of their lives. As a matter of fact, it is in the very next chapter that we will read about Sarah's death and burial and the heartache that Abraham suffered at her loss. In the eyes of this world, everything was against the every idea of Sarah giving birth. Her age and her barrenness, as we have discussed in the past weeks, made it a seemingly impossible promise from the voice of God to Abraham. Sarah even thought the idea was ludicrous, and that both she and Abraham were far too old to have children. Therefore, she scoffed at the very concept. But 1 year later, God proved himself mighty in this matter with the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. Isaac was the promised heritage, the son born as the fulfillment of God's word to Abraham and to Sarah. He was the offspring of the omnipotence and the omniscience of God Almighty. In his birth, God proved himself faithful to his friend Abraham. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Just as Sarah and Abraham had experienced the fulfilled sovereignty and faithful working of God to overcome every natural obstacle in the path of this heritage, so also Christ brought this to the remembrance of those who were so familiar with this story. It is the fact that God is not limited by anything or by anyone in the manner in which he chooses to operate in the hearts and lives of those he calls unto himself. Salvation is the very miracle of God's omnipotence to the nth degree. It is this very fact that so caused our Lord himself to make the definitive statement concerning the limitless omnipotence of God to his disciples. He was calling to mind the absolute sovereignty and ability of God to do everything that he purposed and that he planned from before the very eternal ages of the ages. His disciples were dismayed at the response of Christ to the rich young ruler concerning the matter of salvation. They queried Jesus, wondering who could be saved if this young man who had done everything right could not earn or buy his way into the kingdom of God. Christ responded with a tremendous declaration of God's might in Matthew 19:26. And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." This is foreshadowed in the events of this morning's passage concerning Abraham and Isaac and God's faithful provision. Isaac questioned his father about the sacrifice, and it is indicative of Abraham's complete trust and faith in God as he responded so lovingly and so fully to his son, whom he thought that he would be sacrificing to the Lord. Genesis 22:7-8. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Abraham trusted God, no matter what the cost, and he counted on the Lord to make every provision for the keeping of the promise with which God had so blessed him. He knew that God would do right by Abraham and by Isaac, whatever that might entail. In that assurance, he could confidently tell Isaac that the Lord's provision was to be evidenced as they prepared to sacrifice unto the Lord. He put his complete trust in the Lord and so encouraged young Isaac to likewise place his trust in the Lord. Then we see that provision evidenced as Abraham was ready to follow through with the sacrifice. As he was about to deal the death blow, God stayed his hand and he provided the sacrificial lamb of offering. This resulted in the further glory, the glory that Abraham accounted to God in the course of his divine provision and keeping power. Genesis 22:13-14. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. It is, after all, God who provided for the proper sacrifice for Abraham and for Isaac. It is God who has provided for the only possible sacrifice sufficient for our eternal salvation. While Abraham was not compelled to put Isaac to death, that was not the case in terms of God bringing forth the only manner of our salvation. In order to redeem us unto himself, the sacrifice needed to be once and for all time. There was no other way of it than for God to freely offer his only begotten Son, perfect in every way, as the means of the just and required penalty of death for our sins. God offered unreservedly his Son upon the cross to bear the burden and the penalty of sin for all who would call upon him and receive that priceless salvation. He did so without reservation and without wavering in his so great love for you and for me. God provided for the required offering on Abraham and Isaac's behalf with the ram, as he did for us in Jesus Christ. This entire account in Genesis is the foreshadowing of what God the Father had to do in order to establish the perfect means of bringing you and me into absolute fellowship with Himself. We see this proclaimed as John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Lord. Several times he points to Jesus of Nazareth and makes the following proclamation, which was not understood in that day. John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John knew that God was doing what was necessary in order to deal with this sin that so stained and entrapped humanity. He understood that the Lamb of God would be the only sacrifice capable of permanently and eternally dealing with the curse under which humanity was laboring and dying in an enslavement beyond any other possible means of freedom and salvation. John 1:35 and 36. Again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This was no small declaration concerning Christ. It called forth the truth that the sacrifice had to be made. It brought to mind that Isaac was the type of the Christ who had to be put to death in order for the holiness and the righteousness of God to be lawfully and rightfully satisfied. While John could only baptize in water unto repentance, it was a baptism that signified that God would provide the perfect sacrificial lamb required for that repentance to be manifested in justification and in redemption. As the Apostle Paul so declared to the believers in Ephesus in Acts 19:4, and Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in Him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." Through his preaching and his activities, John the Baptist proclaimed the need for the people to rely on God to make the every provision for their salvation through Jesus Christ. All the credit and the manner of our salvation was accomplished through the willing sacrifice instituted by the Father's foreknowledge and His pledge of love. We are so instructed by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:17 through 21. Please turn to it and read along with me. 1 Peter 1:17 through 21. "And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. It is because our faith and our hope are set in the mighty and completed work of God that we are so able to have our absolute certainty of His tremendous promise of eternal life. He provided the Lamb, His only begotten Son, to deal with every obstacle that tried to thwart our being called by His name. John, the writer of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, so honors Him in that position as the Lamb of God who was slain for our sakes. It is a place of honor and power in the heart of the kingdom of God because He freely laid down His life to bring humanity into the rightful relationship of fellowship with God, our Creator. Please turn with me to Revelation 5, 6 through 9. Revelation 5, 6 through 9. And I saw between the throne, with the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came, and he took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Heavenly hosts will eternally be proclaiming the fact that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is worthy of all praise and all honor. There will be ceaseless glory given to Him for the laying down of His very life for the saints. The Heavenly Father will be rejoicing forever in the work that the Son did in honor and in utter obedience to the Father. This will be no minor celebration that will cease after a period of time. It will continue always in the absolute triumphant jubilation of the victory of the Lamb over all the powers of sin and death. Amen. As well, John records that all of creation will join in that song of absolute achievement and the conquest of all the forces that were arrayed against the holiness and the majesty of God. Revelation 5, 11 through 13. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This will be the culmination of all the centuries of man's struggles against sin under the bondage of the fall of Adam. Those who choose to be saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ will know all the fullness and the glory of the might and the all-sufficiency of His laying down His life for us. We will find absolute joy in the fact that the Lamb of God's provision opened up eternity as a framework of coming into the completeness of God's plan in His creation. We will know what life truly means as we serve God Almighty forever and forever in giving Him all praise and worship and adoration. Revelation 7:13-17. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in the white robes, who are they, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "My Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to springs of the water of life. And God shall wipe every tear from their eyes." This is only by the prerequisite perfection of the Lamb that God sent forth from His heart of love for the sake of our redemption and sanctification. Apart from His work and His preparation and His crucifixion and His resurrection, only death and destruction would be the course of our eternity. There is nothing that we could do to earn or to merit such a wonderful and grace-filled and mercy-applied salvation. As Abraham well knew, God alone would supply our needed salvation from His infinite storehouse of beauty and compassion and forgiveness and love. Only God can provide. So be it. And Abraham said, "God will provide for Himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Amen. Phil and Stephanie.